Today I want to talk to you about worry, which I thought was somewhat appropriate for today. How do we stop worrying so much about all that's going on and start living again? Because I think that's going to be part of this next few months, this next few years, as we figure out where to go next, as we figure out how to start living again and not being so consumed by everything that's in the present. And this wasn't just the advice of our governor a few months back or the president of the United States. This is also the advice and even the command that God gives us as well. Because God says too, I don't want you guys to worry so much about everything. But it's been hard, hasn't it? I mean, things come up, and we're not always prepared for them. So what do? We worry. We get sick, or the doctors find something, and immediately we start to worry. What does this mean? Is it corona? Is it cancer? I mean, what's going on? We hear about layoffs, and we think immediately, right, about what must come next. The stock market fails, and we begin to worry about the future, about our retirement, about our investments. It almost seems like whenever something happens in our lives at all, we tend to think of the worst. You hear about a car accident on the freeway, and you wonder if it was somebody that you knew. Or your daughter comes home from a date with another young man, right? And she has a huge smile on her face, and your imagination goes into overdrive. Or you open up the mail and you see these three little initials, IRS. And you just keep thinking, what if? And then we make justifications for our worry and we use phrases like, well, you know, I'm just concerned. When actually the whole time we're just plain terrified, we're plain worried. So perhaps especially in light of the last few months, I want to talk to you a little bit about how to stop worrying and how to start living again. So as we go through this text, I want you to see that Jesus begins by giving us five reasons why we're not to worry. And one of the first ones he gives us is in verse 25. Jesus says this, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? So the first thing that Jesus is just saying to us is that worry is unreasonable. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's irrational. Jesus is saying there's so much more to life than just food and clothing and the things of this life. By the way, those are all necessity kind of things. But he's just saying, what does it matter what kind of car you're driving or how much money you have or had in the stock market or how much your salary is if you don't have peace of mind? And for us, I think the tendency is that we get so caught up in the externals of life, right? Hence the news. That's one of the reasons we probably need to turn it off every once in a while. We get so caught up in the externals of life that we forget about the eternals of life. But if it's not going to last, he says, if it's just temporary, don't worry so much about it. Because there is so much more to life than just worrying. He goes on in verse 26, and he gives us another one. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away things in the barns, right? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? And see, why do you worry about your clothes? See the lilies of the field and how they grow? They don't labor or spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. See, Jesus says, first and foremost, don't worry because it's unreasonable. It doesn't make any sense. And two, he says, don't worry because it's unnatural. He says, look at the birds. If anybody was on God's welfare rolls, to be honest, it's the birds. All they do is eat, fly around, sing a little bit, and absolutely poop on my car, right? But he says, look at the birds, guys. God takes care of them. And then in verse 28, he says something else. He says, he gives us a sort of a botany lesson there. And he says, look at the flowers. Look at the intricate design and the complex beauty. God takes care of the flowers. And so he says, don't worry, for he will take care of you too. The fact of the matter is, animals don't worry and plants don't worry. In fact, there's only one thing in all of God's creation that worries. That's us. It's human beings. Everything else, trust God. Everything else, trust God to take care of them. Worry is not a natural thing. It may be natural to our sinful nature, but it's certainly not the way God wants it to be for you. It takes away your peace. It takes away your joy. God doesn't want that for you. In fact, you weren't created that way. You weren't born worrying. Rather, it's something that you've learned over time. It's something that you have to work at, to be honest, to practice at, to get really good at. But I guess that's sort of a good thing, right? Because if it's something that you have to learn, maybe it's something we can unlearn as well. And so worry's not natural. Our bodies were not designed for the stress that worry brings. And that's why when we worry, we have health problems. Backache, stomach aches, insomnia. I read this year that there will be 7.5 billion headaches in America, and every day Americans consume 15 tons of aspirin. Why? Because of worry. We get uptight. God goes on and he starts giving us another one, verse 27. He says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? See, the third thing that Jesus says is that worry is unhelpful. In other words, it just doesn't do anything. It doesn't work. It's useless. Worry cannot make me taller, and it cannot make me shorter. It cannot lengthen my life. In fact, so often it just does the opposite. It shortens my life. I get so uptight, it ruins my life, and it makes me ill. And so worry never moves you one inch closer to a solution. It's kind of like a rocking chair, and this is my favorite imagery, right? You've got a lot of activity going, but you're not making any progress. Back and forth you go. And that's what worry is. The only thing that worry changes, to be honest, is you. And the thing that it does more than anything is it just makes you more and more and more miserable, more and more and more afraid. Somebody has said that worry is stewing without doing. Worrying cannot change the past, and worrying cannot change the future. All, again, worrying does is it makes me miserable today. How about another one? Worry is unnecessary. In verse 30, it says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Jesus says, you just need to understand, you don't need to worry. It's unnecessary because God has promised, God has promised to take care of you if you'll just trust in him. I heard a story one time about a little lady walking down a country road with a heavy backpack on her back, right? And pickup came along and he picked her up to give her a ride. And about 3 miles down the road, the man said, you know, you could take off your backpack. You don't have to keep it on. You know, we're in the car. And the lady said, yo, no, that's fine, sonny, you know, or whatever. She said, it's enough for you to carry me, but I'll keep carrying my own load. And we think that just doesn't make any sense, that it's silly, but that's the way we treat God so often. We say, God, you get me to heaven, but you know, right now, I'll take care of the car payments, I'll take care of the house payments, I'll take care of the coronavirus thing, and I'll take care of, you know, the social unrest, and I'll worry about all that, but God, you know, if you could just get me to heaven. Jesus says, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to worry so much. Worry is unnecessary because I've got you, even in the midst of the storm. And then God gives us this last one. In verse 31, it says, so don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father, he knows that you need them. He walks with you every step of the way. He's by your side. He knows your needs. He knows your wants. He knows your frustrations. He knows your fears. He knows it all. And God says, I know what you need, and I know you need these things. So don't worry like the pagans do. Don't worry like somebody who doesn't believe at all. For not only is worry unreasonable and unnatural and unhelpful and unnecessary, but it is also unchristian. In other words, it's a sin. It goes against the very first commandment, actually. For in worrying, what we find is that we're putting something else before God. We're trusting something else more than we are God. Jesus says non-believers have a right to worry. They ought to worry, actually. They're trying to make it through this world on their own effort. They're created by God for a purpose, but they go through life ignoring God and ignoring that purpose. Jesus essentially said, I'd worry too. But the Bible says that Christians are to be different, that we don't have to worry because we're trusting in a Heavenly Father who promises to take care of us every single day. Yet how often do we act that God is totally unaware that our house payment is coming up or next week or that the car is broken down or that the two kids that we have are sick or that the taxes are coming around the corner or that we're being quarantined because somebody that we know has coronavirus? We act as if it's all dependent upon us. And that's acting like there is no such thing as God. See, worry is assuming a responsibility that God never intended for you to have. So he says, relax, let go, and trust me. And as you look around in our world today, that's been pretty hard, hasn't it? Sounds like a great goal, but it just doesn't seem to be possible for us right now on this side of heaven. And God still calls us to trust in him and to not worry. And so if we're going to be like God in his character, his nature, if we're going to become the godly people that he calls us to be, he doesn't want us worrying so much. But how do we stop? How do we find that peace, right, that God has for us? God says, step one, it's verse 33, where Jesus says these words. He says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given unto you as well. So the first step in overcoming worry is always putting God first in every area of your life, because worry is always an indication of mixed up values. Whenever I start worrying, it's a warning light, right? Going dee-doo-dee-doo, right? A red light blinking on and off. It's saying that my priorities are out of order. You're putting more value on something temporary than on something that's going to be eternal. Notice back in verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve, he says, both God and money. He's saying every person must eventually come to a point in their life that they decide the number one question in life, which is this: who or what am I going to live for? See, that's the most important question in life. Because what you decide as the answer to that question is what your master is going to be. Because whatever you live for actually becomes your master. God says you can't have two masters. If you want me to help you with worry, make me the number one person in your life. And as a result, my promise is I'll bring everything else into focus. All these other things will be added unto you. But if you put those other things first, I'm out of the picture. Start worrying when God's out of the picture, because you're out there all on your own all of a sudden. And that's not a good place to be. Jesus says, second step, found in verse 34, he says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Every day, in fact, has enough trouble of its own. I think that's about as relevant as you can get today. Live one day at a time. Jesus says, don't open your umbrella before it starts raining. Don't start worrying before you get there. Why? Because the future, when you start thinking about it, can be really, really overwhelming and get you down when you start realizing how it's coming at you, right? And so God designed the future to come to us in bite-sized proportions. It comes in 24-hour segments, one day at a time. It's like the hourglass, right? You flip it upside down and the sand goes through, but only one grain at a time. And that's the way God intends for us to deal with our problems, one at a time. You deal with one today, and then the next one comes along and you deal with that one. But Jesus says, don't worry. I didn't make you to be a worrywart. Instead, put me first in every area of your life and live one day at a time. And then I'll give you one final step. Verse 30. Will not God take care of you? Won't he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. See, the root of all worry is a lack of faith. It's a lack of trust. It's unbelief. And so the third step in overcoming worry is just simply this: trust God to care for the things that are beyond your control. And to be honest, everything, it seems, is beyond our control right now. You can't control it anyway, so you might as well start trusting God for them. It'll make life a whole lot easier if you just let God be God and you be you. Trust God to take care of the things that are beyond your control. In 1 Peter 5:7, Peter writes, cast all your anxieties upon the Lord. The word cast there in the Greek literally means to let go, to drop. So let me just ask you, what is it that you need to cast upon the Lord today? There's a whole bunch, isn't there? What is it that you've been holding on to that's got you so worried and worked up this morning? Is it the economy? Your job, personal problem, a relationship like marriage or your kids, a health problem, problem with your friends, a problem at work, whatever it is, know that Jesus Christ has made it possible for you to cast all your cares and worries upon him. Know that through him is all the power and all the strength and all the forgiveness necessary to deal with whatever is coming your way. And know that even when we may fall short, even during times when we do begin to worry and freak out and stress, that we are always forgiven and that we are always loved by a most amazing God. And then let that truth, let that reality, that promise pervade you with a sense of peace and rest. And may his love remain on you always. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen.